John and Crystal worked down here Monday night with Larry on the phone trying to run some, eliminate whatever problem we had last week. And it was a poor recording. And it'll take one really wanting to hear to get past all the sound that something was making in the wire, in the mic or something. Hopefully they've got that settled somewhat. So if you would turn with me to the 56th Psalm. You will not find the text, the title, in that psalm, but we will look closer after a little while. And I hope, trust that the Lord will grant unction and wisdom so that I can speak to you on the silent dove of far off places. We could, as far as the situation David's in, we could have chosen many texts, many psalms, because David was quite oft in a straight, difficult place. But we'll look here at this. Would you bow with me as we seek our Lord, try to silence our heart that heavenly dove might be pleased to light in our breast this morning. Our Father, the goodness, the grace, the mercy that Thou hast shown us will be an eternity of us really learning these things. We know that Thou art good, and because of Your nature, Your being, Your character, You can only do good. Sometimes we lose sight of the Lord Jesus, His great sufferings, that we might be called the sons of God. And in our light afflictions, which Paul said are but for a moment, they carry such a weight with us. I pray You might help us. I pray You might keep us always before Thee, O God. And as our steps begin to depart from the narrow way, be quick to call us, discipline us, causing us to return, that we not one day wake up at such a distance that we can never get back. Help these dear souls, those later that will hear, bless Thy word to their hearts, give them an understanding heart, perception, spiritual perception of Thy word. Give unction, grant wisdom to rightly declare, and all that we need wherein Thou, our God, our Lord Jesus, might be glorified in our midst today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we will turn away for two or three places in the New Testament, but we end up back here in Psalm 56. So mark your place when we go elsewhere. Verse number 1, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. And what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. As I said to you a moment ago, David quite often found himself in such a place. Enemies going about like dogs barking around his house, waiting to destroy, harm, do whatever they could to him. But God has left us such a great treasure, not only in His writings, but in all His children that we read of their history in the old and new economy. And David yet again finds himself in that difficult strait. Enemies would swallow me up. Man would swallow me up. Man, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Throughout his life, few were the days, you might say, that he lived in quietness within, no disturbance. Or he lived in a peaceful surrounding, but he had found the secret of life. Bring God between himself and wicked men. This is what man will do to me, verse 1 and 2. But in that time, Thou, O God, shall be my trust. Bring God between him and hard circumstances, troubles, enemies fighting, enemies oppressing. But he found out that God was his fortress, his high tower. He always was the same, no matter the situation that David might find himself in. His God was the same and would always receive him. I mentioned to you the title, The Silent Dove of Far-Off Places. Though God is speaking in Isaiah 43 to a Gentile king, it does not matter because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. To whomever he might have been talking, I can derive benefit from the account left. God told this king, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. That's what I'll do for you. So throughout, as you go through Scripture reading, you will find hidden gems everywhere you turn, if God will just uncover a little that we might see them throughout Scripture. Like the man in Matthew 13 found one pearl of a great price. That pearl, those pearls are formed in the deep, dark waters of those little soft shell creatures that live there, because between the outer shell and their tender flesh, a food particle, small grain, little seed, something has got there, and they continue secreting, as you do in your eyes when something lands in them. You begin secreting that fluid to wash out what's lodged there. But they would keep on, but ended up dying, having given their life trying to get rid of that foreign object in their between soft skin and outer skin. Our Lord Jesus, Colossians 1:23, in whom are hid all the treasures, are all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In your reading and in your meditating, if you are there for a right purpose, find out what God might have to say to you, how things could be improved in your daily walk with Him, how before others your life might become a living testimony and example. So if you're coming to the Scriptures and approach them in this, there will be times a treasure will be seen, such as that in this psalm. Today, these hidden gems and treasure lie beneath the surface of all the words that you will read. If you can get a quiet heart and a right frame in searching the Scripture, they are gems, treasures, pearls, valuable stones. They are, as Job said, of silver and gold. There is a vein for these. But it'll only be with you in a path of obedience where you find these nuggets scattered throughout Scripture. Before we get there, I would remind you, if you have stepped off the narrow way, if something has drawn you aside and you are no longer in that way, the only word that you will ever hear from God is repent and return. You can read all you want. Nothing will bring joy or delight. God has no other word to a wayward child other than return home. That prodigal is not going to see his father's face until he starts home. I'm not talking about the sin nature that we all live with. I'm talking about those commands that you know that you ought to be doing, serving the Lord. Do this and live. You know where, if I'm talking to one, hopefully I'm not, you left the Lord Jesus. You know what it was that drew you aside. You know what it was that caught your eye, and that become more brilliant to you than walking with the Lord. And you begin searching for that. And somewhere you grieve the Spirit. Repent and return. Except you repent, God will in no wise gather you back to Himself. In a few minutes, we'll turn to the disciples in the midst of a great storm. But first, consider the Old Testament prophet. Disobedient, rebellious, intended never to do what God told him, go do. So in Jonah 1, the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, a mighty tempest, that the ship was like to be broken. All the sailors on the ship gathered for a prayer meeting, but it availed nothing. They wanted to know why. They began searching the ship and found Jonah asleep. Jonah was frank with him. The only way you'll get out of this alive, is that you throw me into the sea. Those men did not want to do that, so they rowed harder, but then they finally realized that Jonah had told them correctly. Instead of asking them to turn the ship around and get him back to shore, where he could go to Nineveh and do what God told him to, he had rather die. Now there have been children, children of God, that have lost their lives due to disobedience or rebellion. There is a sin unto death, 1 John 5:16. I do not say that you shall pray for it. Now, if you see a brother sin a sin not unto death, then he shall ask, and it shall be forgiven him. He shall give life for those sins that are not unto death. But one that continually defies the Lord in his duties and rightly following his commands, if you can get away with that, children, you are not a Christian. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. God does not tolerate disobedient children for a long period of time. You head off into eternity. If a child, but if you can do those things and never be bothered by them, you have no hope of being a Christian. Now I want you to see those in the storm, but these in Mark chapter number 6, these in Mark 6, they are in the way that the Lord told them. They're doing exactly what he said, trying to obey completely their Lord's command. Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Get in the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent away them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. He told them, go, they will expend all energy and all effort to do what he told them to do. And though the wind was blowing in their face, contrary to the point where Christ told them go, they intended on getting there. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. His voice in verse 50 calmed their troubled, anxious, disturbed mind and heart. Many times, in the path God sends you, you will find yourself as these men in a storm where the wind is so great against you and the waves so high it looks as though you will perish. The verse comes, you're thinking, meditating, reading, Somehow God gives to the mind a verse. There is no change in your outward circumstances. Storm still rages about you. But all of a sudden, your heart and your mind are calm. Doesn't matter the noise around my house. It doesn't matter the wind blowing contrary to your path. All are still in the same place, except your heart and mind now in great peace rest there. That's that silent dove of far off places. That's that dove that returns to Noah the second time with an olive leaf plucked off. Olive leaf, peace. Noah knew the waters have abated the earth. I knew him not, but I have been told upon whom you see the Spirit descending, the same is he. In all four Gospels, the Spirit, like a dove, comes, lights upon the Lord Jesus. Quietly, I don't know if anybody else there at the baptismal waters, if they saw a dove. But surely, if you've been in this way for just a little while, surely you know of those times when the mind was churning, agitated, frustrated, and then a word, a thought, a verse, and all of a sudden the agitated heart, it's like that sea. It's just rest now. It's calm. To you who are troubled, Paul said, 2 Thessalonians 1:7, rest. But children, only the dove from that far off place can bring rest. You can tell your heart, be quiet, or you can't calm it down. You can say, okay, I'm not going to be looking at these circumstances and thinking about these circumstances anymore. And you might have peace for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, but you're immediately back to that agitated state that you're in. Now look again with me at Acts 27 at the actual circumstances in the apostle's life that you can relate to here below in your Christian walk. Acts 27 and verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm, along with the loss that we've all suffered. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And they realize, he told us, don't make that journey. But the captain and the owners of the ship, they thought, we'll go ahead. And when Paul said, sirs, you ought to have listened to me, do you think that he was boasting? I told you what was going to happen. No. He was telling them what he had said to them, that what he's about to say to them might have an effect upon them, but it has little. They will not find peace, not in Paul's words, but later in Paul's actions, when he took bread, broke it, blessed it, ate it. Then all of a sudden, that man has told us the truth. Being exceedingly tossed. That's the life of David throughout many of his Psalms. Be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent, I go down to the pit. The only thing that keeps me in the way and keeps me from that dreaded pit is God's voice to me. That's the only thing that keeps me on that even pathway. Oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Roaring, raging, mourning. You've been there, haven't you? Do you hear in Paul's language, in the incident there in another place in the Gospels of the disciples in a ship in a storm, David in the midst of enemies howling, ready to destroy him? Do you see in all that? And do you hear in that language the one thing that is missing from Christianity today? That is experimental Christianity. Acts 27:20, no light to the wrecked. You've been there? All hope taken from us. That's the apostle. I with the other sailors, none of us had any hope that we'd come out of this alive. But no, Paul in no way is boasting about being right. You know I was right when I told you that. So I want you to hear me now. Be of good cheer. I have word from above. The angel of the Lord to David. It was that silent dove of far away places that brought that olive branch to David. It doesn't matter where you are, what your circumstances are. God will grant you peace in the midst of the storm if you're in the path of obedience. How was it, you, dear child, you sailing on this vast ocean called life? And circumstances arose, storms that you did not look for, storms that you thought would never be since you are now a Christian. Even to the point at times you thought, I'll never get out of this alive. While the sea raged and your little vessel tossed to and fro. Then in an instant, where your heart already having given up, it's calm. It's quiet. Peace abides. Your little vessel still tossed to and fro. Right there is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Paul said that'll keep your heart and mind. That peace of God. Paul, in that strait, not due to a wrong choice he made. Jonah, in that storm, due to a wrong choice he made. Paul is not running away from his duties as a minister, disciple, spokesman of his Lord. He's not in that storm because of disobedience or because of rebellion. Now, if the peace is taken from you due to careless living, the only way that you'll ever have silent heart within again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Now go back with me to the 56th Psalm. Now, I do not know what Bible you are using. King James. What? And even in the King James, there are some printed that do not have the headings of the psalm. Like Psalm 56 would just start, be merciful. But I've long used one that gave us the circumstance in which the psalms were written, often telling us who was in it, what he was going through. But now I want you, if you do not have this, or if you do have it, I want you to read with me that little introduction that David gives to the chief musician upon, and I'll make an effort to pronounce this, Jonathalam Rikokum Mictum. Jonathalam Rikokum means that silent dove of far off places. And all of a sudden, Psalm 56 became that little gem to me, found in the dark. It was that little olive branch that dove brought back a peace symbol. That silent dove. This is one of those hidden riches of the secret places. You say, well, that's not in the inspired. You're not going to rob me of that. No matter what you say or try to get around it. Here's a little pearl. Here's a gem that has been handed first to me, I hope, unto the Lord to you. If not today, when you are in heavy trials or in a vessel storm driven by winds, it'll become this to you. It'll become that little precious gem you can hold on to. For you that are and go through inward turmoil, hidden throughout the inspired book of God, as little rays of light, little rays of hope, little nuggets of gold bringing peace and joy and helping you in the midst of your dilemma and turmoil. Most of ye remember Martha and Milton. It's been many, many years since they've been with us, but those of you that don't know him, his career was a geologist. And when they were both able, their vacation times, it'd be North Georgia. It'd be down on the coast. It'd be up in the mid states of the United, of our country. And the mica mines here in Randolph County. And he's given me little rocks with fossils imprinted that came out of the middle of the United States. Not on the Gulf Coast, not on the shores, anywhere near the middle states. Sea life. Found in the heartland. Hundreds of miles from the coast. Crystals he's given me. And a few times they would visit the mica mines up there in the county. And most would pass by what he collected. And we'd pass them by just rocks. But he'd take them home and he'd polish them and shine them. And he'd have some precious gems that were only rocks to me or to the others passing by. This might be only a rock to you, I don't know. But if you're a child, storm's coming, clouds are gathering, great wind is now beginning to blow across this land. Things are taking place that though we thought they would, I never thought they would be in my lifetime. A nation divided, and they keep dividing it further and further. People in office that are no more than crooks. Both parties. When our forefathers would gather in Washington, it would be only a couple or 3 weeks after they had laid their crops by or able to close their shops. They would go to the Capitol there to make the laws and the conditions of the land, go over those. Never taking a penny from anybody. And now, they can get an office and come out multi-millionaires. Where? Robbing you. This going on in what we call a Christian nation You can forget that term. You are not living in a Christian nation, though I still believe it is the greatest nation to live in of all the others in the world, yet we're on a collision course. You better find the one that you say is Savior, and you better stick up these little gems. And you've got some that you've collected over the years. Spend a little more time digging in the Scripture and polishing what at the beginning only looks like a rock. But in the end, it's a priceless ruby, sapphire, that everybody's passing by. Do all to stand in that evil day. Am I very confident that I'll be able to stand? No, sir, not in the least. I could fall completely out of the way before the day's over. Oh, not me. I don't trust your intelligence if you're sitting here with that attitude. And I would never betray the Lord. Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. My heart is resolute. My mind is made up. And you can say before the cock crows, I will not deny you. You do not know what you are. You do not know how you will react. So as time through the week passes by, beyond the time that you have to give to your employer, to the company, beyond that time, you laying up anything? You sticking back anything for when that evil day approaches? And the very church of God is under great persecution. I've told you many times that the smaller churches, we are not recognized as a church in Randolph County. Plus, when the beast cast off the harlot, it won't be the churches in Randolph County that he begins to attack. It will be the larger churches in the larger cities working his way down to the smaller towns, smaller cities. And the true church will be the last one that the beast will ever look at. He looks at these multi-million-dollar structures, and their offerings on one Sunday, thousands upon thousands. He said, "Yeah, you've robbed me to stick up all that money. You were exempt from taxes. And I'm tired of you being on my back." And he goes after, working the way down to Randolph County and Keyreth. I have been set aside because of this one point that ministers don't like today. And that is saying God is not going to send revival to this nation. they're not going to have that. They will cut you to pieces with their sharp teeth. They intend on twisting the arm of God to the point that He sends revival. Nope, judgment's going to finish. And if there is revival, and I believe that there will be, well, preacher, you're speaking in with a double tongue there. I said, God is not going to send revival to America. They can gather, they can pray, they can do whatever they want. They can roll on the floor like a spoiled child. God's not going to do it. But now, at the same time, I look for the church of the living God to have the Spirit of God wake her up and get her back walking with the Lord. Between now and then, children, you better be investing. In God's book. Hidden gems, the pearl of great price. We overlook because many times we just religious and it's my duty to read. I wouldn't even open my Bible if I were you. Now sometimes you will be so low that you won't even know. And you just want something. You want a word from God. And you're searching there. Then open it. But if you open it just to be religious and perform a religious duty, I guarantee you this, that the pages will all be sealed up. At times, when the enemy is all around, man would swallow me up. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. And then in the middle of this, verse 3 and 4, he talks about when he's afraid, trusting in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And then he goes right back in to outward circumstances. They are resting. They are twisting my words. And all their thoughts are against me for evil. But that silent dove of far off places, that's in David's breast, looking at how cruel man around him was. So children, at times you'll be searching for just one small little nugget that no one else might mean anything. But when you collect it, it calms the tempest that you're in. Give not that which is holy to dogs. Do not cast pearls, your pearls, before swine. Now, if my mind in any way is still working, just a little, that means that the children of God have given to them by the Spirit holy things. And they have been given pearls. You've got to have those. If the Lord said, don't give holy things to dogs, don't cast away your pearls on those animals that will just trod them underfoot. Well, how do I search for these? Leave your intellect behind. Don't approach the book based on your mental ability to read, perceive. Approach the book as spiritual. Open thou mine eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You don't, every time you read there, no. Approach the book as a needy beggar on his knees and get rid of all the noise that is possible for the least noise in your breast will keep that silent dove from landing there, staying there. John saw the dove. John the baptizer, the Baptist, saw the dove because he was looking for it. Our God said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Not your head, your heart. From this silent dove landing, there is a calm, sweet repose in your heart. And drawing from that, springing up from that, peace, joy, thankfulness, just gratitude that God in His great mercy has visited you again to provide you precious things. And there God meets throne of grace. There God meets with His lonely, suffering saints. And no greater joy can a child of God have in this old world than God drawing nigh. Do not think that you're just going to open and find. It might be at times. At other times, it will only be because you have asked, you have sought the Lord for help in opening a book that's been preserved over 6,000 years. Because God still speaks today to those that have a heart to hear. So as you leave, children, I hope that you'll take a little encouragement from this, knowing that God will never leave, will never forsake, even when you seem all alone in the day. God's nearby, always close. Just make an effort to find out what in me is keeping Him from not manifesting Himself. Is there something? You labor, children. Store up, keep, read over, and pray over. And may that silent dove from that far off place have a loud voice in your soul.